Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is Scott Goodkin. Scott has dyslexia. He barely graduated high school. They said he had a learning disability. So guess what he did? He became a motivational speaker, and he created an online portal teaching kids learning how to learn. That's what I call making lemonade. He took his disadvantages and made them advantages. He found out what he was strong at and capitalized on those along the way. Here is Scott Goodkin. Okay, I'm here with my stepbrother, Scott Goodkin, who we have parallel circumstances because I had like a learning disability, and that attracts me to his story so much because he had challenges, and then he went off to create this amazing, you know, methodology that helps people for what the same situation that I had, he had, and it's really intriguing. So I wanted to first talk to you about what was your first want as a kid? Something that helped you inspire this thing, but what did you find yourself wanting as a kid?
Look, Michael, as you probably remember when we were young, but you know, I've always wanted to just help people. It's just something, I don't know why, it's just something in me that just wants to help people. I always try to do good things for people, and that's pretty much been the mantra of my whole life. I just help people, you know, and I enjoy that. I actually get something from helping others.
That's awesome. So what was the major challenge in school? How did this start where you really figured out, okay, I got a problem here?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, we both grew up in LA. I was attending my first year of school in Culver City, a school called Page Day School. And pretty much they diagnosed me with severe dyslexia, not even dyslexia, because in 1965, just to put some perspective to it, that was kind of a new thing back then. They didn't know what dyslexia was. They just knew kids were having trouble. And so they started actually testing for it. And so they tested and, you know, they found me to be really, really bad. And basically dyslexia is just where your brain doesn't process the information correctly. It kind of mixes it up or jumbles it up or whatever kind of dyslexia you might have. There's lots of them. But anyway, in my case, it was really bad. So I don't know. They put me through this program. They had checkerboarded the schools, and I happened to be going to one of the ones that they were doing the training at. So I had first in. And I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't remember necessarily these days. But I do know what they did do was help me be aware of the fact that I had this problem. So if I did screw something up, I at least knew I screwed something up.
Yeah. They didn't give you a roadmap back then.
That's right. It was all leading edge stuff back then.
So what was the turnaround point? How did you overcome that hump when you were a kid? What was the first point where you really said, okay, well, at least this is starting to work now? That was your first bit of success.
Well, going through school, you know, look, all the way to you know, year 12, 12th grade, I didn't really have a good school career. It was pretty horrible, actually. And I didn't do well. I was getting all C's and a lot of D's and all that and just, you know, not doing well. But my turnaround point was actually when I was 19. I thought I was going to be a California certified welder. I was going to Pierce College, learning, you know, the different types of welding. And pretty much what happened was I needed a job. So I applied at the Encino Travel Lodge, and basically they hired me and I was the desk clerk. But what swung me around was the hotel got sold and the new owner was a CPA. And he wanted me to go take accounting. And I told him, I'm not good at school. And he said, well, I want you to go do it. So I did it. And something clicked, Michael. I don't know what it was, but I got an A+ in the class. And I really understood it. I got it. So that was the turning point.
So like we talk about like film, right? That's the inciting incident. So that's like a first win for you because you've always done poorly at school. You know, there's nothing wrong with welding. Robin Williams used to say, hey, good luck with comedy. If not, study welding. But you wanted to do something that exercised your intellect, and this guy told you to do it. You end up doing that. So now you get a smell of success, okay? You get an A in this, you know, you're like, holy crap, I'm good at math.
Right.
Where do you take it from there?
So a short time later, I moved up to Juneau, Alaska when I was 20, and I was working there in the same kind of thing with a hotel, and I decided to take pre-algebra because I wanted to conquer this thing. It was, Michael, it was kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but it was like me or it. It's going to be me. I'm going to win. So I decided to take this class, you know, and I want to face my monster, you know. And so I did really well with it. So that was, again, another turning point. And I remember fondly that I was dreaming algebra equations and waking up with a solution in my head, writing it down on paper, going to the teacher and saying, I've never seen this equation. She goes, I've never seen this equation, but you did it right and you got the right answer. I said, I'm going to quit. This means I'm going nuts, right? She said, no, good stuff. So I kept on going with it. And a year later, I went up to Fairbanks and I entered the civil engineering program and nearly got my butt kicked once again. Really bad. It was hard work.
So when you, did you win? Did you lose? What happened with that?
Well, as the old saying, like, you know, with Rocky, I came away with black eyes and bloody lips and all that kind of stuff academically. But thankfully, I wasn't a quitter. So I kept with it. And as I mentioned earlier, I was, you know, working with the Travelodge and then later on up in Juneau and blah, blah, blah. That gave me 5 years of business experience. And so I started using some of my business skills that I had learned to get through school to university. And I started actually thinking like a business person, but I was a student. And believe it or not, that was a massive turning point because suddenly I had structure and I knew what to do and it worked well. And my grades started increasing dramatically. But it wasn't until after I left engineering because there was a crash in Alaska in 86. And I went into, believe it or not, of all things, getting a math teacher degree, a BED.
You got a degree as a math teacher.
Yeah.
Now, you won awards. You won awards for your math, right?
I did, actually. I got a lot of awards. And it was quite really amazing. I was able to become the 1990 All-USA Academic Team member for Outstanding Academic Excellence.
That's amazing to me. So somebody that has that kind of difficulty, that's what I love about the story, because somebody that had the difficulty, severe dyslexia, you don't feel like you can win at all. You wait until you're 19 years old. Somebody just tells you one little thing. It sparks something in you. You find out you can, it's like getting into a fight in the ring and you throw a jab and you're like, holy crap, I connected. This can really work. And then it's like one win after another win and after another win. So where do you take it from? Was this the incipient stages of you going into the methodology that you created now that we're going to get into?
It was. And the reason for that was, again, I had to survive. And I was taking, you know, advanced mathematics courses and theoretical mathematics and all this stuff. But I was applying these new techniques and this sort of skills and tools and things that I was developing. I just created them for my own survival. Then the next thing that happened was I graduated uni. I was named to the 1990 All-USA Academic Team, like I mentioned earlier. So I knew I had something because it was working. And fast forward a few years, I was living in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I was tutoring students. And the school asked me if I wanted to do a study skills program. They got a grant. I said, sure. I put it together and I started doing workshops and it was working well. It was well received. I actually presented it to the California Teachers Association, the Wyoming Teachers Association, and the Idaho Teachers Association, all with, you know, super accolades. So I knew I was onto something, Michael. And that's when I decided to formalize this into a program. Now, keep in mind, this was only about 1999, so that's 21 years ago.
Right.
So it took some time on the back burner, and I decided last year to go ahead, 2 years ago now, to turn it into something official, especially now with the internet, it's easy to deliver over that. It was going to be DVDs originally. So we've just spent the last 18 months developing agradesforyou.com. And I tell you what, it is wonderful stuff. And it works. That's the thing. I've given it to other people to test it out. Now we're selling it. But I'll tell you right now, people love it. And it's fun. It's entertaining. And it has meat. There's not any fluff in it. It's just a series of like 42 little short 1 to 5 minute videos. And they're fun.
I've seen the website. And I got to tell you, you know, coming from, like I said, I don't believe in the moniker of ADHD or whatever the scale of what, you know, I have. My daughter, my youngest daughter has, she's been diagnosed with quote unquote ADHD. And for somebody with that, she thinks like, you know, she's only 11, but that's how I thought and how, you know, you want something so structured and so put together to where it's easy in bite-sized pieces, because if you're into something, when you have dyslexia and you need that win, you know, you want to compartmentalize these little things. And what your website does is it takes things in simplistic easy, entertaining fashion, because some of these subjects without that will be very boring for somebody. But if you make it exciting, now with hyperfocus, you could do anything as an ADHD person. But from the standpoint of that, looking at that, it's amazing because you create a methodology that makes it seamless,
that's
easy,
right,
entertaining, and very easy to move along to the next step.
It's easy to
I love it. Use.
No, it's just very easy to use. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's really just a matter of if you apply these different tools, and they're easy to do. And it's not even just the tools and methods, but I'm sure you saw on the website, it even gets into nutrition and fitness that helps you become a better student to get you best from your brain, the best from your brain and your body. And
right,
it's really a comprehensive way of approaching learning, which is what I did. And now others can do it. And it's just the thing that's fun about it is, you said you've seen the site. So, you know, we actually use puppets as part of it. I'm on there as a teacher, as well as we use professional level puppets. And that just makes it, everybody loves puppets, like Muppet style puppets. And it just makes it.
Yeah, but it's also, it looks very sharp. It looks really sharp. And you put, the way it's put together is very symmetrical, very colorful. It looks, you know, high end, you know, as far as the website's very, very tight. You know, it's interesting. I was just interviewing a mutual friend of ours, Greg Dean, who's created a methodology for humor.
That's right.
Just talked to Eric Morris, who's an acting teacher. He's 90s, coming out with his 12th book. Each of these people have created methodologies with very structured steps towards a method.
That's right.
Seems like that's what you've done with.
Yes.
You've given this a title, and I want you to share it with us. Learning how to learn.
Correct.
Learning. Talk about the process.
Yep. So, I mean, basically in school, it doesn't matter. And A Grades for You isn't just for elementary and junior high and high school kind of, or middle school, high school. This is good right up through PhD because it's not specific. It's actual methodologies and tools and strategies of how to learn. So they do a good job of teaching, you know, the content, whether it's English or math or whatever, you know, subject. And pretty much what I've done is created a system that you can deploy to help you with those things. So it's not necessarily subject specific. It's more about the learning how to learn. And there's a fancy word for that, Michael. It's called deuterolearning. And that's what it's actually the scientific term for it, deuterolearning. But basically, it's learning how to learn.
New word.
And so what this does is gives you a structure, as you mentioned, a system of how to learn, which they don't teach in school. They just teach you what to learn. I've come up with the how to learn. And I've even shared this with quite a few educators, professional teachers, and even school administrators. And they go, unfortunately, you're right. We don't teach that. We should, but we don't. So this is what I've come up with. And I know that it's going to help so many people. Back to the earlier part of our podcast here, is that's what drives me, to help people. So I feel really compassionate about this. I feel very strong about this, that I would love to help people get over their learning like I had to deal with. Because I tell you what, it wasn't fun going.
Is it ready right now? Can people go there right now?
Yeah. Agradesforyou.com. It's up and running. Yeah.
Agradesforyou.com.
A grades, like the letter A, sorry. A grades for the number 4 and the letter U. So agradesforyou.com. Yeah.
We'll put that in the show notes too, the podcast, so people can go there and check it out.
Sure.
And what ages would you say this is for? What's the age range?
Yeah. As much as I'd love to say it's for young children, it sort of isn't, because it does imply and use some sort of higher level after you get past the concrete way of thinking and educational terminology, you know, to where you can abstract. This takes a little bit of that. So I'm thinking, you know, kind of like maybe grades 7 or 8 on upward, like I said before, through PhD, because it does address some actual ways to learn and methods and like I said before, strategies. So you got to be able to get past that. However, that being said, if somebody wanted to try to work with their younger person, maybe they have a little bit of learning disability like you or I had, they could do it with their student, with their children. In other words, they take the class with them and then help them apply it. I think that could work maybe down to about year 5, you know, about fifth grade. So, but that would probably take a little bit of parent participation. But after about year eight, I think they could do it on their own.
Where do you want to go next with this? The next plan that you want to take it to?
Well, right now it's in English only. So what I'm looking forward to doing is once we get enough people using the system and we see that we've got the right, you know, story, then I want to get it translated into other languages like Japanese and Chinese and Spanish and French and German and et cetera, et cetera, so that more people can get this help. Now, I do understand a lot of countries do speak English pretty well now, so that might even cover some of the other countries, because English is, like, I know in Japan, English is a pretty important language for people to know. So it's possible that these other countries will be able to use it. But I just want to make sure that more people have access to it so they can get the help that they need to do better in school, maybe even get straight A's like I did. But prior to the system I was using, I tell you, I did not get straight A's. I was getting almost straight D's.
Right, right. Quick question, you know, fun question about you creating this. I know part of it was created here in the United States, but you're in Australia. Yeah. What was the differences between working with the two people? Was there any differences between the production of United States and Australia?
You know, not really. You know, we're separated by a large ocean, but, and then while there are some other, you know, some cultural differences, in general, not really. I mean, when it comes down to learning, it wasn't a big challenge. Now, we have some of all the puppetry in the show was filmed in Indiana by a master puppeteer, Sam Bowman. And so I sent my camera guy from here over there to film all that. It took a week to video all of the different pieces. And then we came back here and we were given, thankfully, the keys to a high school here over the Christmas break. And I had free reign of the school for a full month. So we shot all the in-school scenes actually in a real school. So it wasn't that different, really. I think it was pretty seamless, actually. And when you see some of the videos, I think you'll agree. We even set it up like it's a news set. We'll have, you know, up in the corner, it says, you know, USA or Australia or whatever. It's pretty funny to do. I mean, we had a good time.
Oh, it's done right. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what about the learning methodologies between the United States and Australia? Have you gotten into the differences of those?
Look, it's pretty similar, you know, because learning is learning. It's not so much the content that's critical in A grades for you. What it is how you learn the content. That's kind of universal because we are human beings and we're more or less within a very small percent. DNA is almost identical in all of us. So it really doesn't matter what country you're in, really, whether it's United States, Australia, France, you know. Learning is learning, and certainly you need to get information into your mind. You need to be able to synthesize that information, and you need to be able to put that back out and share it with people to show that you actually understand and have learned that information. So that's what this addresses, is how to go about those things. I mean, it's got like test-taking strategies for standardized tests, for different kinds of regular tests, quizzes, etc. It goes through very specifics on how to approach each of those things. It also then talks about, you know, different ways to get yourself prepared, what to do the day before, what not to do the day before, all of those kinds of things to do your very best. So those things are kind of universal, I think.
I love it. I love it. You know, I keep on asking questions like that because I like to know, what are the social differences? Why people do what they do? The psychology end of those things, you know, and I love the fact that you created a methodology for better learning. Education and homeless are two things that kind of, like, because my dad was homeless, you know, but he didn't have an education, and I had a tough time with, education. So the fact that you're doing something with education, and it's just really inspiring me. And the fact that you had those challenges in the beginning, that just inspires me. So let's button this up. If you were to go back and tell yourself something, especially now, knowing how you've dissected learning, what would you tell yourself?
That's a funny question, because in some ways, I know this is going to sound kind of maybe, you know, different than you're going to expect the answer to be, but I'm glad I went through that because it made me, number one.
I know you're glad. We're all glad that we went through the experiences that we went through. But if you had a chance, like for me, if I can go back, I'd go back to my bar mitzvah. I would change my name to Miles B. Knight. I would tell my dad, take me up to like, you know, Cupertino so I can like be an apprentice with these guys named Steve Jobs and Wozniak. What would you do if you could do something and you can go back? What would it be?
I see what you're, I thought you were saying relative to what would I do different with this thing, but no, you're saying
I'm a genie in a bottle and I'm going to give you a wish to go back in time.
Yeah, look, I probably, if I could go back and tell myself something for the future, it would be to really think about what you're doing and how that's going to affect you later in life. And, you know, I think unfortunately when we're young, we just kind of plod through. Like I used to tell people, there's the old adage of dip your toe in the pool before you jump in. And I used to just jump in. I didn't even know if there was water in the pool. I would just jump my butt right in the pool. And pray to God there was water whilst I was descending towards it, you know? And I think, you know, as I've gotten older, I think I've become a little bit more sensible, maybe, if that makes sense. So it's, you know, even just with, for example, with money, you know, I think parents don't teach kids enough about money. So, yeah, I think when you're young, you just spend, spend, spend. And there's a few kids that, you know, have had their parents coach them on money. I think that's what I wish I would have had, was more coaching on that. Later in life, I worked it out. But it would have been nice to know that from an early age, which would have made it much easier now, you know, to, as I descend into my now golden years at the old, ripe old age of 60.
Right, right. Well, you started off by saying that you wanted to help people. That was your thing that you wanted when you were young. You wanted to help people. And I will tell you something. Your passion and your project will be helping people. And I'm excited to see it come to fruition. It's out right now. Or is it going to launch, or is it already out?
We're doing the official launch next month, actually in February 2021. So it is up there now if people want it.
What's the date? What's the exact date that it launches?
I believe we're going to do it on February 14th, which we thought that way people will love it.
Poetic. Nice. A nice button. Okay. Very cool. Scott, I love you. Thanks for doing the podcast today.
You're welcome.
We're really excited for you to launch this thing. I think it's going to give a lot of people for help. What, name it one more time.
It's A Grades For You. And I'll spell that. The letter A, G-R-A-D-E-S, the number 4 and the letter U.com.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Scott. Really appreciate it.
Mike, and I'm proud of you too, man. I know this has been about, you know, Scotty and A Grades For You, but, you know, it's been a pleasure watching you develop as well. I mean, you know, we both kind of had our challenges as kids. And, you know, I remember the days when you used to marvel at the skateboards I'd show up with or whatever. You know? And you
gave me my first mountain board. You built that like a 3-foot mountain board. Mountain board's like a downhill skateboard.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to see both of us, you know, here we are 40 years plus later, Michael, and I'm really proud of you too, man. I think it's great that you're doing this podcast to help others. That falls into my, you know, philosophy as well. And I'm really proud of, you know, the other business that you've, I really remember, I can see it right now, that little shed in that backyard and the alley with the tarps, about 8 or 10 tarps stacked up, you know.
Right.
That was it, man. And now you've got this, you know, huge warehouse in Texas, and, you know, you ship tarps and everything all over the world, and you've been helping with the COVID. And, you know, I'm so proud of you, man. Yeah, isn't it great to be at this point in our lives and see that?
It is. And I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. But to bring it full circle, you know, you know, at a time was desperate when I was a kid, didn't know how I was going to do anything. I just don't have answers. And I felt like a square peg and felt like I was going to be nothing or I didn't deserve to live. And what really got me through was methodologies to where it gave me hope. Mm. Because when despair is what really can end things for people.
I agree.
But when you have hope, that carries you on. And when there's a methodology towards explaining for you to go from A to Z, no matter how simplistic it is, that is what helped me. And what you're creating here, if I had that when I was a kid, that would make me feel so much better with certainty that I would be able to have a fast track, you know? So yeah, that's, I appreciate you saying that. And
From the heart, Michael.
I'm grateful.
It's from the heart, Michael.
Thank you. All right. We'll talk soon.
Great to be with you. Thanks. I hope this helps people, you know, when they check it out and, you know, they decide to give it a try. I know that you'll succeed with it, or your kids will succeed with it, or you as an adult will succeed with it. So check it out. And I look forward to seeing people getting A's out there.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you, Michael.
That was Scott Goodkin. If you're interested in having your child learning how to learn, check out agradesforyou.com. I wish we had something like that when we were younger. Yeah, all we had was those encyclopedias. You just like grab the D book and just end up looking at dogs. All right, that's today's episode. Look forward to seeing you on the next one. All right, if you want to find out more about our show, go to longshotleaders.com. If you want to be a part of something special and get your daily dose of inspiration, perspiration, exasperation, knowledge, and creativity, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our podcast. And if you like what we do, share our show with your family and your friends, and put some positivity out there in the world. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again on the next episode, I bid you adieu. Where did I get French from?